Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. It's about 78, 79 degrees outside, so it's just a beautiful Monday in Oklahoma, and I am ready to talk sports with you. Been in a little hurry today, went and worked out, had to make a Walmart stop, but I am ready to talk. Had a great weekend watching sports and ready to talk about it all with you on today's show. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@Hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@Hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Also, the show's available on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. That's TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. I believe the show's also available on iTunes as well. But we have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk a lot about the NBA playoffs this weekend. I had a lot of really good games in the NBA playoffs. So we'll talk about some of the more intriguing games and look at how the series stands right now in the NBA playoffs. We'll also give you a mini NFL draft preview because the draft starts on Thursday. So we'll talk about the NFL draft, and also we'll talk some hockey, we'll talk some Major League Baseball, we'll do all that towards the end of the show. But let's talk some NBA playoffs, and let's talk about some of the games that took place this weekend. On Friday, Boston, they cut Chicago's 2-0 lead to 2-1 as they whipped Chicago in Chicago 104-87. Isaiah Thomas, he scored 16 points and he had 9 assists. Avery Bradley had 15 points and 7 rebounds and also 7 assists. Isaiah Thomas didn't have a great game, but he got a lot of help in Game 3. Al Horford had 18 points and 8 rebounds. The Boston Celtics shot 48% from the field. They hit 17 of 37 threes. And they had 34 assists as a team. The ball was moving. Their ball movement was excellent on Friday night. That's Boston Celtic basketball. When the ball is moving from side to side, they're knocking down threes. That's what they do, and they did what they did, what they do very well on Friday. For Chicago, Dwayne Wade, he scored 18 points on 6-18 shooting. Jimmy Butler struggled. He only scored 14 points on 7-24 shooting. They had 7 rebounds. But Chicago shot just 39% from the field. They were 6-21 from threes, and they also had 18 turnovers. Rajon Rondo was definitely missed. Nothing came easy for Chicago's offense, and that's, you have to give credit to Rajon Rondo for that. He does a great job of getting them into their offense. At least he did in the first two games of the series. Chicago really struggled to get into their offense, and also defensively, he does a great job at the point of attack, getting pressure on Isaiah Thomas or Avery Bradley, getting steals, playing tough defense. Celtics got anything really that they wanted offensively for the most part. They struggled a little bit in the second quarter, but besides the second quarter, they got anything they wanted to offensively. And also, they only had 14 assists, the Celtics as a team, so they had more turnovers than assists. Again, Rajon Rondo, that injury is big, and that was a big reason why they lost to the Boston Celtics. I mean, I think if Rajon Rondo had stayed healthy, I think I would have been wrong on that one. Chicago would have won this series. Now I think the Bulls are in deep trouble. They were plus 15 on the glass on Friday night, but it wasn't enough as Boston. They cut the lead down to 2-1. We'll talk more about that series in a minute. Also on Friday, Oklahoma City, they did hang on to beat Houston to make that series a 2-1, beating 115-113. Russell Westbrook, he had another triple-double, 32 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists. That's what he does. He makes triple doubles look easy. Taj Gibson added 20, so he got help. Victor Oladipo was better. He had 12. Andre Roberson has scored 12 as well. They shot 53% from the field. They were 9 of 19 from threes, and the defense was much better. They also had 8 steals, so the defense was much better. James Harden, he scored 44 points, had 6 rebounds and 6 assists, didn't miss the potential game-winning three, had a great look, just didn't knock it down. Lou Williams had 22, but Houston shot just 46% from the field, 10 of 35 from threes, and only 10 assists as a team. So give credit to the Oklahoma City defense, doing a good job of getting the passing lane. Houston just didn't have that ball movement they're accustomed to. The only issue that Oklahoma City had in Game 3 was defending without fouling. Houston was 27-38 from the free throw line. Harden got a lot of free throw attempts. That's what he does, but that was the one issue for Oklahoma City. But they get the win, and they got back in the series. I have a lot to talk about Game 4, which took place on Sunday. We'll talk about that coming up here in a minute. Don't forget, if you want to talk NBA playoffs, you want to talk anything world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We'd love to hear from you. Also on Friday night, the Clippers, they took a 2-1 lead. They beat the Jazz 111-106. This might be one of those old saying, we won the battle, but the Clippers might have lost the war. We'll talk about that in a second, why I say that in a second. Chris Paul, he had 34 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. A great performance there by Chris Paul. Down the stretch, he made all the plays for the L.A. Clippers. DeAndre Jordan had a double-double, 17 points and 13 rebounds. Lou Bamute, he had 15 points and 6 rebounds. But Blake Griffin, he scored 6 points and 6 rebounds, but he got hurt in the second quarter, injured his toe. He's out for the rest of the playoffs. That is a devastating injury to the Clippers. Obviously, one of your prime time players, his ability to score on the inside, he's just a nightmare to try to defend. That is a big blow for the Clippers. The Clippers just cannot stay healthy. Some of the reason why they haven't been able to advance in the playoffs is their health. I mean, they just cannot stay healthy. It just hasn't worked out for them. But they did win on Friday night. They shot 55% from the field, only 8 turnovers. And they were plus 14 on the glass. They did work on the glass even without Blake Griffin. Gordon Hayward, he scored 40 points, had 8 rebounds. George Hill had 11 points in how many points did he have? No, I think he had 26 points anyway. They shot 52% from the field. They were 14-34 from the three-point line where the Jazz, but it wasn't enough as the Clippers get the victory. And they did lose. The Clippers lost Game 4 on Sunday, 105-98. Rudy Gobert is back, and he had a double-double. He made his presence felt, and that's why I say the Clippers, they might have won the battle, taking back home court advantage, but they might have lost the war with Blake Griffin being out and Rudy Gobert back in. So, obviously, whoever wins Game 5 more than likely will win the series. I'll stick with the Clippers since they're at home, but, boy, it's going to be tough. Game 5 will be very interesting on Tuesday night in that series, so we can talk about that. Also, the Raptors on Saturday, they even their series with the Milwaukee Bucks, beating them 87-76. So that series is tied at 2 apiece. DeMar DeRozan, big time. He struggled in Game 3. He was awful, scoring just 8 points on 0-8 shooting. He dropped 33 points, had 9 rebounds. Kyle Lowry scored 18, so the backcourt really stepped up for the Raptors. They need to be more consistent, but they were really good. On Saturday, they inserted Norman Powell into the starting lineup. He scored 12 points. They were more aggressive on the offensive end. That was key. For Milwaukee, Tony Snell scored 19, but Giannis Antetokounmpo really struggled. He only scored 14 points on 6-19 shooting. He did have 9 rebounds, but 7 turnovers for the Greek Freak. So give credit to the Raptors' defense. They were much better defensively. Chris Middleton also struggled. He only scored 10 points on 4-13 shooting. They shot just 37% from the field. They had 20 turnovers, so that's not a recipe for getting a victory. Milwaukee had a chance to put a foothold on this series, and now it's tied at 2 apiece. I think Toronto, it might go 7, but I think Toronto finds a way to win the rest of the series. It'll be interesting to see who comes out on top tonight. Also, on Saturday, Memphis, they beat the Spurs in a classic, 110-108 in overtime. Mike Conley, he had 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. He scored 16 points in the fourth quarter in overtime, made all the plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. Marcus Gasol had a double-double, 16 points and 12 rebounds, including the game-winning shot. The Memphis Grizzlies were plus 14 on the glass. They hit 12 threes. For the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, he had 43 points and 8 rebounds. He also had 6 steals. He was big time down the stretch. I know he didn't make that last basket that would have won the game for the Spurs, but every big shot they needed in the fourth quarter and overtime, he came up with just about. He scored the final 16 Spurs points in regulation. I mean, man, that was – someone said, I think the commentator said it was LeBron James-esque. To me, it was Jordan-esque. I mean, that was impressive. That was an impressive stretch by Kawhi Leonard. Man, he is really becoming a star. That young man can ball. That was impressive. Tony Parker added 22. They were outscored by 11 points on the bench by Memphis. And also the transition defense for the Spurs was really poor. And I thought the Spurs, they took some questionable fouls late in the game to put Memphis on the foul line. So I thought that was an issue as well. And also they didn't shoot the ball well from three. They were 9-30 from three. So I'm going to say we have a series. There's no doubt about that. Now, I'm not going to say the Spurs are in trouble. The series is tied 2 games apiece. It's headed back to San Antonio. San Antonio still has home court advantage. I still think San Antonio wins the series, but it could go seven. It definitely could go seven. You got to give credit to Memphis for winning their 2 games in Memphis. But I think San Antonio still finds a way to win the series. So we shall wait and see. But San Antonio, they are in a series now. There's no doubt about that. But a series tied at 2 games. They still have the advantage. I think they win this series. Like I said, it could go seven. But I still think they advance and move on. Another team that I think is going to move on is the Houston Rockets. You know, I'm a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan, but I told you before the series started that I think Houston's just a better team than Oklahoma City. They have more weapons. They have a better bench. And unfortunately, it looks like I'm going to be correct on that. Houston, they slipped past Oklahoma City, beating them in game four, 113-109 in that one. Nene, he was a big story for the Houston Rockets. He had 28 points and 10 rebounds. He did an excellent job of scoring near the basket. Also, Lou Williams, he scored 18. Eric Gordon had 18. And, you know, what's really disconcerting for Oklahoma City, and there's more things that are disconcerting in this loss for Oklahoma City than just what I'm about to say. But James Harden, he struggled. He scored 16 points on 5 of 17 shooting, only 16 points on 5 of 17 shooting. He did have 8 assists and 7 rebounds, but 7 turnovers. So he didn't play well. He said he's dealing with an ankle injury. That might be the case. Give Andre Roberson some credit defensively. But that really has to be disheartening for the Oklahoma City Thunder. When the star of the Rockets plays that poorly and you still lose, the Houston Rockets were 28 of 33 from the free throw line. So they did work at the free throw line. So that was the big reason why they got the victory. One of the reasons why they got the victory in that one, their ability to get to the free throw line. And Oklahoma City's defending without fouling. They fouled too many three-point shooters when they were attempting three-point shots and they get three free throws. That was an issue for Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook, he had another triple-double, 35 points on 10 of 28 shooting. So he didn't shoot the ball well, but he had 14 rebounds and 14 assists, and he got help. Steven Adams had 18 points and 7 rebounds. Victor Oladipo added 15, and Andre Roberson added 13 points. So four players in double figures there. But to me, there were some coaching issues from Billy Donovan. They should have benched Andre Roberson with about 4 minutes left to go when Houston started the hack of Roberson. Now, he shouldn't have been benched for the rest of the fourth quarter. Just wait until the 2-minute mark because they got this silly rule that you can intentionally foul someone until the 2 minutes left to go in the game. So you can bring back Roberson for his defense with 2 minutes left. That's fine, but he couldn't shoot free throws. He was 2 of 12 from the free throw line. You got to get him off the court. I'm sorry. You got to bench him. I know you want to have faith in your players. You want to show faith in your players, but sorry, that's ridiculous. You got to get him off the court. If he's not going to knock down free throws, he's going to shoot that way. I'm sorry, you can't be on the court when they start that strategy of hack a Roberson. That's ridiculous. And also, what was ridiculous, the Thunder cut it within one with about 18 seconds left to go. So obviously, you have no timeouts. You only have 18 seconds left to go. You got to foul right away, as quick as possible. But no, the Thunder don't do that. They foul Nene when he's right at the basket, and they had every opportunity to foul before then. And then they make matters worse. They foul him. He gets an N1, and that pretty much ends the game. That is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That cannot happen. You got to make better decisions than that. I'm sorry. You have to make better decisions than that. The Roberson thing, that's coaching. I don't know if the you know, not fouling with 18 seconds left. That was that the players, was that Coach Donovan? I'm not sure, but that can't happen. That is absolutely pathetic. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Now, we can also complain about the Oklahoma City Thunder bench. They were outscored 64-22. Oklahoma City has had bench issues all season long. The defense was much better. They had 14 block shots. Welcome to my block party. But I'm sorry. Those decisions were really, really costly. Defending without fouling and keeping Andre Roberson on the court way too long, and also not fouling with 18 seconds left to go in the game. Just horrible. And also, Russell Westbrook tested some really questionable shots towards in those two threes he took trying to get fouled. I understand going for a 2-for-1, but when you just throw up garbage, I'd rather get a good possession in instead of going for 2-for-1. So that's two games Oklahoma City should have, could have won. This series easily could be Oklahoma City up 3-1. It should be at least tied at 2 games apiece. I'm sorry. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. Houston's a better team. You know, I told you that before the playoffs started, but that just can't happen. So it looks like Houston's going to win in 5 games. Very disappointing anti-Oklahoma City's regular season. So we can talk about that. Also, we can talk about the Celtics. They did tie the series up with the Bulls, 2 games apiece, beating them on Sunday, 104-95. Isaiah Thomas was big time. He scored 33 points. The Bulls took the lead late in the third quarter, and Isaiah Thomas went to work. He took over. My goodness. He was unbelievable. The Bulls just couldn't keep him in front of him. He got to the basket anytime he wanted. Gerald Green added 18. Al Horford had 18 points and 7 rebounds. The Bulls were only +3 on the glass. They only out-rebounded the Celtics +3. But give credit to Isaiah Thomas. He was just clutch. He came up with all the clutch plays. Now, I think the Bulls did find something by starting Isaiah Cannon at that point guard position. He scored 13. Their offense had a better flow to it than it did in game 3. Jimmy Butler had 33. Dwayne Wade had 11 on 5 of 12 shooting, but the Bulls only shot 42% from the field, 5 of 24 from 3. So the Bulls still have a chance in the series. They just need to find a way to can they win in Boston now? Because Boston has the home court back. With that Rondo injury, just devastating. So I just don't see it. I think Boston comes back and wins this series. We shall wait and see. Also, the Cavaliers, they swept the Pacers. It was a close sweep, if you want to say, but still a sweep nonetheless. That man in Cleveland's a bad man. He had 33 points and 10 rebounds and 9 assists again. I mean, what a performance he put on in Game 3. He was really good in Game 4. And Paul George said he wanted the ball. He struggled only 5 of 21 shooting from the field. If you're a big-time player, you got to make shots in those situations. So that was an issue there for Indiana. They get swept, and the Warriors could sweep Portland. They have some issues, though. Kevin Durant still questionable, but the bigger issue is that Steve Kerr might be out for the rest of the playoffs with a health injury. With health concerns, I should say. So we shall wait and see on that. Will he be able to come back in the playoffs? They'll miss him, I think, probably in the Western Conference Final, potentially between the Spurs and the Rockets, if the games are close, and especially in the NBA Finals. I still think the Warriors are the team to beat, obviously, but that could be an issue for the Warriors down the road. But right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL Draft. We'll give you a little mini NFL Draft preview. We'll do that next on Sports Talk.
Got the top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney's genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Oh, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are.
Welcome back back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you want to talk NBA playoffs, you want to talk NFL draft, which we're about to talk about in a minute, you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. But let's talk about the NFL draft that takes place on Thursday. I have a mock draft in front of me. The Browns, they have the number one pick. I know the Browns have had a lot of, will be kind, questionable draft picks, but I don't think the Browns can mess this up. I know what Warren Sapp said about Myles Garrett, saying that he's a lazy kid. And like I said, I haven't watched a lot of tape on Myles Garrett to say, but I've seen enough of his games that he can cause havoc. I think he's going to be an excellent defensive end in the NFL. He's a big, strong. He can get to the quarterback, and that's what you want for a guy to be very disruptive in the run game and also get to the quarterback. So I think that's Myles Garrett. I think he'll be the number one pick. I would be pretty shocked if he's not the number one pick. So we'll see there what Cleveland does. I guess they could trade the pick, but I would assume the Browns get Myles Garrett with that number one pick. At number two, my favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers. It looks like they're going to get the defensive lineman out of Stanford, Solomon Thomas. He can get to the quarterback. He does a great job of that. And the 49ers just need talent. They need a lot of talent. They need a lot of help in a lot of different areas. I would love to get get some help in the secondary, but they need some defensive line help. And I know Solomon Thomas, he's a guy who can get off the edge. He can get to the quarterback. So, okay, we'll see how he does. I'm in for that. That's the pick that they go with. We shall see. The Bears, they have the number three pick. The Bears are another team that have a lot of issue. I'm guessing they're going to go defense. They could go safety, Malik Hooker. You could see the defensive lineman from Alabama, Jonathan Allen, go here. He's a big-time player. He can get to the quarterback, excellent pass rusher. He was an excellent pass rusher in college. He's fast. He's physical. That's a player they could get there at three. It's going to be interesting to see how many players in the SEC get drafted. I mean, there's so much talent in the SEC, Alabama, LSU. It'll be interesting to see how many players all together that go in the first round. A lot of Alabama guys are going to hear their name being called. And also a lot of Ohio State guys will hear their name getting called as well. And who's going to be the first running back taken off the board in this mock draft as the Jaguars taking running back Leonard Fournette at with that number four pick. And so we shall wait and see. That'll be interesting as well. Who's the first quarterback that's going to be taken off the board? Maybe the Jets get Mitch Trubisky, the quarterback from North Carolina. He's a guy who only started, only 1 year at North Carolina. They also watch out for this safety from LSU, Jamal Adams. I think he's a guy who can make a lot of plays all over the field. I think he is a potential playmaker. He can really make some plays. I think he's a guy who can come in right away and help a team out defensively. So I could see him going in the top 10 as well. I like Derek Barnett. I want to, you know, my favorite team and my favorite college football team is the Tennessee Volunteers. And Derek Barnett, he's a guy who can really get to the quarterback. I mean, my goodness, off that edge, he is hard to block. He's just fast off that corner. He comes off that edge with reckless abandonment. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. Also, who's going to be the first wide receiver taken? It's going to be Mike Williams out of Clemson. We know we saw him in the national championship game. He is a big-time talent. He's a 4-4, 4-5 type guy. He's fast. He has a lot of ability. The Bengals, they have him going at 9 to the Bengals, and that would be a really good help for them to pair him with A.J. Green. I think that would be a nice pickup for them. Also, a lot of people are high on Corey Davis, the wide receiver out of Western Michigan. I saw him playing that in that bowl game against Wisconsin. He's another guy who's really fast, a little undersized. He's only 6'2 and 205, but he a 4'4 guy. He has really good ball skills, so I think he's a guy who can help the team out. The guys from Ohio State, Marshawn Lattimore and Malik Hooker, like we talked about earlier, I think they'll be top 10 picks. O.J. Howard, I'm really high on O.J. Howard, the tight end out of Alabama. I think he's a guy who can come in right away and be a big-time threat. I think he'd definitely help a team out as well. And where is Christian McCaffrey going to land? You know, right now in this mock draft, I have one. This mock draft says he's going to go 14 to the Eagles. That'll be interesting. Another one says he's going to go 17 to the Washington Redskins. So Christian McCaffrey's a guy who can help you not just in the run game, but he can also be the dynamic punt returner. He can also you can line him out at that wide receiver position. He can make a lot of plays. He can be a punt returner, kickoff returner. So yeah, he's a multi-talented player. He got a really fast guy. He does a great job of seeing the hole and exploiting into that hole, and he can make people miss in space. So he's a playmaker there, so it'll be interesting where he goes as well. Let's see, anything else that's interesting to me? Man, wow, they have the Patriots in this mock draft picking John Ross. Wow, that would be a nice pickup for the Patriots if they can get John Ross there. But they already got Brandon Cooks. I don't know how much more speed that they need. I don't know if they'll go there that route, but we'll see what the Patriots do at the 32nd pick. So we can talk anything. If you want to talk NFL draft, we'll talk more about the NFL draft. There's a chance I might not have a show Friday. I'm going to put my computer in the shop sometime this week. If anyone knows anything about operating fan or system fan for your computer, you can let me know. But I've had some issues with my computer, so I think I'm going to just have to break down and put it in the shop. So hopefully I can get it back by Friday to do the show. If not, hopefully, guys, we will definitely have a show on next Monday, and we'll definitely talk about the NFL draft. We'll talk about the first round. We'll break down the first round. We'll break down some of the selections from the other rounds. It's going to be interesting to see where Joe Mixon lands. In those top seven, in the first seven rounds, where is he going to get picked? What round is Joe Mixon going to get picked? You know, his issue with hitting the girl after she slapped him. So it's going to be interesting to see where he lands on the board. Also, another defensive tackle from Florida, he knocked out a woman a couple weeks ago. So where is he going to get selected at? He was supposed to be a first round. He had first round potential, maybe second round potential. Caleb Brantley and also Jabril Peppers. He tested his sample came back positive, so it'll be interesting to see where he gets drafted as well. So if you want to talk anything World Sports, you can call me up. It's not too late. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We do have some breaking news. It seems like Adrian Peterson is in negotiations with the Saints, so it looks like he might end up in New Orleans, Adrian Peterson. So that'll be interesting to see how he does in New Orleans. So before we finish up the show, we can't. Baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates take 2 out of 3 from the New York Yankees. The Yankees lose 2-1 in the last game on Sunday. 4 hits in that game. So give the Pirates credit, taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. The Yankees went off in that middle game, 11-5, but they really struggled to score runs against Pittsburgh. Up next, the Boston Red Sox against the Yankees. So we'll see how that goes. Boston taking on New York starting, I believe that's tomorrow. So we shall just wait and see what happens there. We can talk about that. You know, Houston, the Astros, and the Colorado Rockies are off to great starts. Both of those teams are 13-6. So playing some great baseball right now. The Houston Astros, and I thought they were going to play some good baseball. I thought they had a chance to make the playoffs. I thought Colorado had a chance to make the playoffs, but they're off to a great start so far. But it's early on. We still have a lot of games to go in the Major League Baseball season, so we can talk about that. Also, we can talk about the hockey playoffs. The Washington Capitals, they beat Toronto 2-1 in overtime. They win the series 4-2. You know, the Capitals were down. I think they were down 2-1 in that series, but they come back to win. So we'll see how Washington does in the next round. Like I said, a lot of people are picking them to win the whole thing, and they could have easily lost to Toronto, but they found a way to win. It wasn't easy, but they advanced to the next round. Also, Ottawa, they beat Boston 3-2 in overtime in that series, and they win that series 4-2. They are moving on. So Ottawa and Edmonton up there in Canada are moving on in the hockey playoffs. So we definitely will keep you up to date on that. And we also can talk about the NFL schedule. I know it's a long way off. I have the schedule right in front of me in the next couple of weeks. My last show, which is planned for June 2nd, we can talk all about the NFL schedule. I was looking at some of the bigger games. I'm definitely looking forward to the Christmas games. There's going to be the games the day before Christmas Eve, the day of Christmas Eve, and the day of Christmas Day. So that's going to be good. I'm definitely looking forward to that. A lot of good games. And there's also a whole slate of games on New Year's Eve. So if you love football like I do, you have to be excited about that. But obviously, it's hard to get excited about, you know, games that aren't until September. So you never know. You might not even be in the land of the living in September. You know, guys, well, hopefully we all are, but, you know, you don't want to look too far ahead. But September 7th will be the first game, the Patriots hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. That will be a great one. That will be a great game. So definitely looking forward to that. But thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be hopefully Friday at 5:30. If not, it'll be Monday at 5:30. So just keep it locked on my social media. I'll let you know, especially my Facebook page. I will let you know if I'm going to do a show on Friday again, having some computer issues. So preferably it's nothing too serious, but something about my system fan. I don't know, is not working correctly. So we don't want to cause permanent damage in computers. I need to take care of that. So anyway, preferably you have a great rest of your week. God is good. Trust in him. And we will talk to you next time, either Friday or Monday, on Mo's Sports Talk.